Okay, thanks, Kira. So I'll be chairing today's meeting. Hi, everyone. My name is Richard. I'm a council co-chair. I'll be leading this meeting today. And I can just start going around. I'll pop some folks. You can introduce yourself, Kira.
Hi, everyone. Council staff, Kira.
Hi, Kira Crown.
Hey, everybody. Council staff, Crown.
Or how do I pronounce this? Guilherme?
Guilherme.
Guilherme.
Yeah. Guilherme. Hi, all. Guilherme.
Guilherme.
Council member.
Hi. Stephen.
Stephen Spano, the HCAP staff attorney at the AIDS Legal Referral Panel.
Lee.
Lee Jewell, council member.
Lee and Maria.
Maria Lacayo, HIV Health Services.
Welcome. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Okay, so next up, how about if we put up on the board, up on the screen, and we try to approve today's agenda?
Okay, we have our regular staff review and approve this agenda, as well as the minutes from last month. And then we have Stephen going over the HCAP report and a few updates for the COLA, and that'll take us to the end of the meeting.
Huh? Anyone have anything they'd like to add or anything they notice? Okay, we're going to approve this. And let's take a look at last month's. See if anything catches our attention. Yeah, Derek chaired last month. Everyone okay with this one? Okay, approved. So we can move on to announcements.
I need to leave at 4 if we're not done by then.
Okay, thank you, Lee. I don't know if I should bring this up now, Kira, or just email some people. I won't be able to be at next Monday's co-chair meetings.
You can email, because Mark is actually in charge of that. So you can go ahead and email Mark.
I will. All right. Yeah. Thank you. Any other announcements? Stephen.
Sorry, there is a small chance. I was texting David about this earlier. I think that my vacation is going to be the second week in August, but there is a small chance that I won't be here for August's community engagement meeting. If that's the case, I'll let somebody know ahead of time. You guys will have the report. We can always go over it in September. And I'm always available, obviously, to answer questions as well.
Understood. Thanks, Stephen. Okay, I don't see any public comment. Okay. So here we are. Stephen, you're back up again. We're going to move into the HCAP report.
Excellent. Thank you all. As usual, I'll highlight a couple of cases that I thought were important that we talk about. The first is going to go on to page 2. This is the top one of page 2, client number 2023-07. It's been going on for quite a while. I wanted to update you all because I did get an update. This is a client who was in a SNF, and if you recall, I hadn't been able to connect with the service provider, which was kind of posing some challenges because I couldn't, kind of confirm or deny what the client's report of things were. Nonetheless, I think at this point we can consider it at least some small success of the program, because I received contact from the client's primary care physician. The client was experiencing houselessness, and the primary care team and me worked together. I have been able to confirm since that outreach that the client is now stably housed at an RCFCI and is stabilizing. So again, kind of like, it's on both sides of the coin. It's unfortunate that the service provider was not initially, willing to work with me to kind of avoid this unfortunate circumstance, and that the client did experience at least 1 week of houselessness, you know, and for a vulnerable client, any moment of housing instability is critical. But at least at this point, the client is housed. He's within the system of care. And I just wanted to update you guys on that. Going on to page one, going back to page one, there are two cases that I wanted to highlight just to kind of take an opportunity to talk about. The first is at the bottom of the page is 2023-27. I wanted to highlight this because it illustrates some a really awesome level of communication and cooperation with our government partners over at MOCD. We got a sweeping response from MOCD that has been really helpful to me as well as our housing team. Basically, just kind of a directive, not a directive necessarily, but just a reminder from MOCD that reasonable accommodations are always available to clients who need them. So in the instance where a client is really struggling and it happens to coincide with the timing of their recertification for some critical service like a housing subsidy, a reasonable accommodation is always a tool that we have in our toolbox to be able to support a client through that period of time so that their subsidy is not lost at a time when they're kind of unable to like defend themselves or put that package together. And so it was just a really affirmative kind of step from OCD to say, hey, you know, service providers should always be open to this. And, you know, AORP is already always around to kind of push that and make sure we send that in quotation marks to whoever we need to. So that was really helpful. And then the next one I wanted to point out, this is not a whole, I'm not entirely sure how helpful it is. At the top of the page, this is 2023-36. I'm not entirely sure how helpful it is for me to bring this up in this meeting, but I wanted to kind of bring it up because I don't know where else is a good place to do it. So this is a client who resides in Marin, who's experiencing some very intense rent burden. The client is living with an elderly partner. Their only income is basically through public assistance. And I think the client is like technically an IHSS care provider for their like aging partner. And between the two of them, it's very difficult to pay rent. They're almost like over 100% rent burden, falling behind on rent. And because they live in Marin, they don't qualify for any of the kind of support that's available for folks living in San Francisco, like back rent assistance and you know, ongoing subsidies, even the short-term kind of shallow subsidies that exist. And so, you know, I've been trying to figure out a way to support these clients. I know that Marin is not funded in the same way that San Francisco is, but I also know there's representatives from both Marin and from San Mateo on the council. And so I was just kind of hoping that I could bring this up, bring it up to the community, the committee's attention, in the hopes that there could be some conversation with, you know, your colleagues at the, you know, on the council from the different regions and or the different counties I don't know, just to encourage some solution to this. My understanding is that at least in Marin, and I don't have any open case on this in San Mateo, but I know it's funded similarly. But in Marin, right now, emergency financial assistance is limited to utilities. So for somebody who's spending 150% of their income on rent, having a $90, you know, energy bill covered is not necessarily all that big of a relief. It's something, but it doesn't pull the client out of that kind of insecurity that is likely to have a deleterious effect on their overall health. So I just wanted to raise that because I think it's kind of an urgent thing, at least for this client. And I'm sure that it is for others living in that county. And with that, I'll just like make myself available to answer questions or go over any other cases that folks thought about.
I'm curious, how many clients you usually see annually that are outside of San Francisco or the EMA here?
It's normally very few. I think it's like historically been two or three in either county, in each county. I think this last year, God, all the annual reports merge in my brain, but it's almost always like, you know, if I have 100 clients, it's almost always like 96 of them in San Francisco and two in either county, max three or four. I actually have this year, I've had a, you know, I think it's already, we're only halfway through the contract year, and I think I have two or three in each county already. But interestingly, at least one of them is for employment support in San Mateo County. And what they've been doing is referring to PRC, and PRC has a number of grants that they can pull. Sorry, I'm not supposed to be mentioning service providers, but they've been, there's only one provider. And so they've been referring to this San Francisco service provider who has enough grants that they can kind of support, which is really great because they don't really have that kind of direct support for employment services in San Mateo County. But yeah, so although the client lives in San Mateo, the service provider is located here in San Francisco.
Do you have a sense that both Marin and San Mateo counties, the clients know about you?
So I've been doing some, actually after the annual report that I gave, I made a concerted effort. We actually already did two outreaches up in Marin. I met with folks. We're hoping to do the service provider there has a new executive director and a new, their leadership team is brand new. There's two new leaders up there. And so I've already introduced myself to them. Na, who is on the council, has been incredibly supportive of getting me, you know, anytime I want to do an outreach, she's been there to kind of support, has introduced me to like all the folks. Emily and I intend to do an end of life kind of clinic there where we'll go up and we'll bring some documents that we can draft for folks on site. And I have to say the answer, at least in Marin, is the folks there do know me. I can also say that the folks that are active on the care council are consumers for the most part. And they know me because of the outreaches I've done, and they've spread the word. San Mateo is different in that the service providers know who I am, because there's only like one of them, and I have a very good relationship with them. I'm very grateful for, because I do often refer, especially some of our immigration clients who need support, I can refer them to folks in San Mateo. Yeah, it's harder to reach the clients in San Mateo. I haven't done any client specific outreaches in San Mateo County.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else for Stephen? Okay, thank you, Steve.
Yeah, Stephen. Of
course. Let's see. Okay, that was the HCAP report. Next up is needs assessment, COLA update.
Yes, I can take that. So just a couple of updates about our COLA. We did have a focus group that just happened, and Stephen was present for that. And so we didn't get a big of a turnout as we had hoped, but that was kind of a given. We kind of knew that outreach was going to be hard and recruitment was going to be hard. But we still got a couple of people who showed up, so that was good. And we were able to do our focus group. But that being said, because of kind of the difficulty we've been having with recruiting participants, we've decided that rather than make this, because traditionally a COLA, we would, you know, come into a already established support group and then kind of take over that. And so that would give us a good amount of participants, but because we can't necessarily do that for this specific focus target goal, what we're going to do now moving forward is we're going to do individual interviews rather than try to get together a whole group. So this will be kind of an ongoing COLA that we'll be doing until we can reach a set number, which we'll have to discuss that with Mark, but we want to bring back enough kind of data and information to report back to the council. So this will just kind of, that's the update. This will just be an ongoing COLA And then we'll also, while we're doing this, we'll also be now moving on to the needs assessment. And then the focus group for that one was Latino, Latinx. So yeah, any questions or anything else to add, Crown or Steven?
I just want to acknowledge Crown and Kira and Mark in his absence for the work that they've done on this. That I think it was a small turnout, but it was an effective turnout. We had a great conversation. It's clearly a topic that that the folks who have experienced this are passionate about. And so I just am grateful for Kira and Crown's support in putting this together. They did a great job.
Thank you, Stephen. I don't have much to add, but Stephen is correct. Though there were a few folks, it was a really rich, robust conversation. And that was really awesome. It was my first time really doing a COLA target. So that was also kind of just personally interesting for me. So that's just all I have to add to that.
So Kira, the COLA, what is the COLA we're working on now?
So the current COLA that we're doing is people who have been affected by eviction.
Evictions, that's right.
Yes.
And so that's ongoing.
Yes.
And then the Latino Latinx needs assessment, that is that ongoing or not started yet?
So that hasn't been started yet. We wanted to kind of get everything moving with the COLA before we started anything with the needs assessment. But since we decided that this will be an ongoing COLA rather than kind of like a one and done kind of thing, we'll go ahead and get started with the needs assessment as well.
All right, thank you.
Can you remind me what COLA stands for again, please?
Yeah, sorry about that. So COLA actually stands for Community Outreach Listening Activity.
And just a little bit of context, originally part of what we were mandated to do was to collect information and from the community, and that usually took the form of a very large annual event where we had where there was a Q&A, and those became kind of unwieldy and didn't necessarily give us any really great data. So we switched over to this COLA format, which gives us more specific and targeted data. And it's a little more helpful for us to really understand, especially in the communities that are struggling and are feeling like they're not getting the services they need. You know, we can get that feedback. And we also talk to providers as well.
Yeah, sorry, Maria. I didn't explain the call. I just assumed you knew about it. But it's essentially, if you know about the needs assessment, it's that, but in a much smaller scale. So it consists of a survey and kind of an interview discussion portion that we'll do with participants. So thank you, Lee.
Thank you. Yes, I knew a little bit, but it is always good to, yeah, because, you know, I get a lot of information. And so I did get a little intro on it, but it's good that you guys caught me up a little more because I did forget. Thank you.
Anything else about the assessments or COLA? All right. Thanks, Crown. Thanks, Kira. Wow. That moves us up to next meeting date and agenda items.
So, I'm such an efficient meeting, Richard.
Well, I mean, I feel bad. I hope I'm not cutting corners. I just, you know, on to the next thing, I guess. But no.
Nope. Do it.
It looks like August 2nd is our next community engagement meeting. So we're starting the month of July off. Pretty good shape. So nice to see everyone again. And I'll see you in other groups. Kira or Crown, maybe someone would like to email Laura and tell her we're done.
I'll do that.
Okay. All right, everyone. Take care and be safe.
All right. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, in case anybody is interested, if you want to bring this to discussion, Nutter Butters are supposed to be peanut shaped.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I can talk to you about that, but they're really messing with perfection here, and it's kind of annoying me.
I'm really glad we have this on the recording. I love Nutter Butters. I used to eat like a sleeve of those after